Chris Raunchy, Amy Markscores, The Chris and Amy Show on 104.1 FM KMOX.
Good morning, friends. How we doing on a Monday? It is Amy and Chris, and we are here with you until 12, and then we've got baseball talk and stuff on the Gas House Gang. So we hope you'll stick around for that. Really, just stay with us all day. Got all kinds of great programming on KMOX, and that culminates with baseball tonight. 314-436-7900 to visit with us by calling and texting. Leave us voice messages on the Odyssey app as well, and we might play your message if it's good. If you've got something to say, you could hear
yourself.
If
it's good or if it is
really bad.
Really bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If it's just okay, you probably won't hear
it. If it's boring, meh.
Yeah, we don't need
boring.
Life's
too short for boring radio.
That's what that promo says.
I know.
And we didn't even write it. We're like, you can talk about us. Also, you can watch the show if you want to on Facebook. We're on YouTube and Twitter. Follow us on Twitter at ChrisAmyKMOX.
Time now for the top of the order. The top three stories everyone will be talking about.
I believe we are living in literal hell. It is so damn hot. It is.
I don't think hell is humid. I think hell's a dry heat.
Is it a dry heat?
I think so.
Well, it feels like we're burning for all of eternity today. And we are. Yes, it's hot. It is so hot. And we have a heat advisory in effect. An extreme heat warning in effect until
in the
tonight.
Studio too.
And in the studio, yes.
And ever heard of Prop U?
Today.
What is it? We don't know. No, and honestly, in all honesty, on the August 4th ballot, we've talked a lot about Amendment 4 and Amendment 5, but for St. Louis County voters, Prop U, which has to do with a use tax on online out-of-state purchases, we'll get the details on what exactly it is from Kate Thompson, Advocacy Committee Chair for the St. Louis Realtors.
And the Cardinals lost the series to the Reds at home, and they will begin a four-game series tonight against their division rival Chicago Cubs, who are in town, starting with a 5:50 pregame show tonight. We got the broadcast, then a 6:45 first pitch from Busch Stadium. So the Cubs are in town. Big series always at Busch.
I think it
And
will.
The Cardinals need to pick it up. This last week, not good. Not good by the birds.
A couple of weeks ago, I think I asked Matt Pauly. I said, I know we're not in the business of prognosticating, but do you see the Cardinals dropping below 500 before you see them gaining a few games? And of course, he didn't know. I don't know. We don't know. But we're flirting now. We're getting closer to 500 than I was hoping.
Yeah. I mean, if this team ends up being around a 500 team, I don't think that's not a surprise. We all kind of figured.
You know, and like we said, if the Cardinals don't get that final wild card spot and don't make the playoffs, I'm actually not going to be that sad.
And you shouldn't.
Because honestly, it's already been more fun than we were expecting.
Yeah.
And the whole point of this team is, yes, be competitive as much as they can this year, which they have, but you're looking towards the future. I have so much hope and so much excitement for the future that I am not going to be that sad. Am I throwing in the towel? Absolutely not. Of course, you want to see them win. You want winning baseball, but I am not going to be heartbroken if they don't make the playoffs this year, because in a few years, I think we'll be looking at not just playoffs, but World Series. Because ultimately, our goal should not be to get the final wild card spot. Our goal should be to win the World Series.
That's the way it always should be, or within reason. I know not every team can do that every season, but we'll see what happens. I do think that they'll be in the conversation. I've been saying this for weeks, and I think it's true. Just because of the nature of the National League, I don't think it's that good. So, there's a middle of teams that's not particularly good. So they can still be competitive once they get into September. But if they miss out, I'm not going to be overall all that surprised. So, Amy.
Yes.
Yesterday, I think we peaked at 101 temperature.
Yeah.
And the worst, because I monitored.
It's funny because I had friends, family members, and I myself were all monitoring and screenshotting the weather apps on our phones.
Yes. So yesterday we got up to a heat index or a real feel of 123.
Nice work, everyone.
123.
Nice work, everyone.
I said literal hell. It's pretty damn close to it. That is awful.
That's unbelievable.
And we do have the heat warning. It is an extreme heat warning that is still in effect today. So we're not in the clear yet. That is until 9 o'clock tonight. So we're still going to be, it's going to be gross at 8:30 p.m. That's just, I hate it. And we're not even to August yet.
I think I checked my phone at, was it 6 a.m. this morning? And it said 84. Is that possible? Is that right that it was 84? At any rate, yeah.
Like 84 degrees.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. And the real feel was like 98. And I just want to say, I personally have a fascination or obsession with dew point, as I believe my partner here, Chris Ranji, does as well.
Yeah.
And yesterday, and I forgot to look, when I saw the hottest real feel, mine was 121. And the temperature was 99. So I missed the 101. I didn't monitor it quick enough. But I forgot to go to the dew point. So I checked the dew point later, and it was 84. So was the dew point higher than 84 yesterday? Because the highest dew point I've ever seen is 84. Because let me just remind you, 75 is Amazonian rainforest. Really, anything over 70 is rainforest. 84? I've never seen it before. I screenshotted it. I freaked out. I'm going to frame it.
Maybe when I was in Tampa 12 years ago visiting, maybe I think we had one of those days in July, but not here. I've not noticed it here before. 84 is crazy. Okay, just so people know, you might look, if you want to know how humid it's going to feel out, you might look at the humidity percentage and go, oh, well, 70 is not that bad. That's not what you look for. You look at dew point. That'll tell you how it's going to feel, yep. Right? So anywhere between 50 and 60 is still pretty good. Feels comfortable. You know, lower than 50 is dry. Once you get over 60, then you're going to start to feel a little bit of humidity. Over 70 is horrible. So 80 is whatever's worse than horrible. That's what 80 is.
Can I ask what birthed your interest in dew point?
I had a meteorologist girlfriend. She made me learn it. She's like, it's not the humidity percentage. That's not what you look at. It's the dew point. Went, oh, okay.
I love it so much.
Thank you.
Because Ranj and I are so opposite in so many areas, but there are really weird connection points, like dew point and White Christmas.
Yep.
The weirdest things ever. Because mine is way less exciting and way more predictable. Although I guess your girlfriend's story is somewhat predictable. But mine is running because you actually have to, it's like physically impossible to perform at certain levels when the dew point's that high.
Yeah.
Right? It's like being at altitude. If you're at 15,000 feet, you can't perform the same way. And so people will have to adjust race times and workout times because it is like trying to breathe in a bowl of Jell-O, hot Jell-O.
Just, yuck. Right? I mean, it's so bad. And yesterday, because we have Harambe texting in, says he's got tickets for the game tonight. Bleacher seats, please pray for me.
Oh.
So yesterday at Busch Stadium, and part of it is because it's the season and it's not been a great season, although the attendance is a little better this year than it was last year, but not by a lot. It was the smallest crowd ever.
Yeah.
That was not a 2021 season, you know, the COVID seasons, they don't count. But for a season that is a regular year, it was the lowest ever attendance for a weekend game. And that's the first time we've had it like that.
Yeah.
And you looked at, if you were watching the game on TV or catching highlights later, there was nobody in the bleachers.
Do you know, though, my first thought?
Maybe a dozen people, it looked like. It must have been miserable out there yesterday.
My first thought, to be honest, watching the game was not, man, there's no one there. My first thought was, how is anyone there?
How is anyone there, yes.
Even in the green seats.
Yeah. 22,852.
And Leahy threw 101 pitches. Is that right?
He threw,
I thought he threw over 100, just over 100.
That could be correct.
But, so
yes,
my question
102,
is,
102.
Isn't it worse on the field? And you don't really get a lot of wind, right? Like, I was really impressed the fact that Leahy could go out there and pitch when the heat index is 123 and throw 101 pitches. That's not a small feat, right?
I mean, the Reds guy did, too. He threw 100.
Yeah. Six innings. I don't know innings. How
That's, you do it. I don't know, man. But
can you imagine sitting there in the sun, in the bleachers, eating a hot dog?
Oh! Or nachos with peppers on them.
Oh, it's so hot.
Or just a real big greasy cheeseburger.
Oh
my Lord.
No.
That must have been. So if you were at the ball game yesterday, how awful was it?
Yeah, 3-1.
We're not talking about the outcome of the score, but we're talking about the heat. Let us know. Amy, by the way, made a fool of herself once again.
Okay, guys. Okay. This is there was so many things to talk about today and just not enough time. Maybe we should take over the Gas House Gang and just keep our show going through to the 12 o'clock hour. So Matt Pajeski and I and Michael Kelly and Noah, my best hiking buddy, we went to see Connor Smith at Dee's Place. Connor Smith is the country singer who's breaking out. He's got the new song, Ball Game on the Radio.
We talked to him. You talked to him on Friday.
We talked to him on Friday.
And
he
you
was
and
in
I,
studio.
Actually, you might have been out.
No, we talked to him on the phone.
Okay, and that was about a month or so ago.
Yep. And he threw out the first pitch of the game on Friday night. We talked to him on Friday. And Saturday, he had like a early concert. It said 11:30. It started a bit later, but 11:30 at Dee's Place in Soulard.
Great place.
I don't know what I was thinking, but first of all, great place, great venue. Connor Smith was awesome. I love his music. I love his voice. I could get into how I became a country music convert as well. And of course, that was through Noah, who has made me cooler than I am. But so I failed. So here's what happened.
I mean, she hasn't done that good of a job.
She's done so much good. You have no idea how bad it was before 2017.
Oh.
It was so bad.
But actually, anyway, I've seen photos.
So I have a long run on Saturday morning, as I do. And so I've just run in the heat 18 miles. I get coffee with my buddies. We go home, and I've got to, like, shower, and I'm in a hurry, and I'm moving kind of slow, and I realize I'm running late for this concert. So I shower, you know, wet hair or whatever, throw on, you know, some clothes, and go to Dee's Place, expecting just to see, you know, like Matt and Michael Kelly and Noah, not really knowing exactly. I don't know. I didn't give it that much thought. But I showed up and I'm like, oh, there's, you know, some radio stations there. And I walk in and there's a group of guys as soon as I walk in, like four guys. And one of them is Ranji's friend, Marty.
Oh, yeah.
I know Marty. And so I walk up to him, but I'm feeling flustered because I've been rushed, right? Rushed to the shower, rushed to get dressed, you know, don't put makeup on, don't dry your hair or anything, just rushed to get there. And I walk up to this guy because I see Marty because he's like the tallest of the group. I go, oh, you're Chris Ranji's friend. Not thinking he would remember me. And he turns, he goes, Amy, and he gave me a hug. And then
he's a nice fellow.
He's a nice guy. And I turn and the guy next to Marty goes to, you know, hey, how are you? Gives me a hug. And I realize, oh, that's Ollie Marmol.
Such an idiot.
And I didn't
you
know.
You are such.
But I've only met Ollie. This shows you how great Ollie is. I have met Ollie one time. I'm not on the Gas House Gang. I don't talk to Ollie. I've met him one time. It was at Adam Wainwright's concert. And he remembered me.
Well,
and then
Amy,
he faked it.
In fairness, no, I think he probably did remember you. But in fairness, it's really tough to forget this. Like, I mean, if you meet somebody like that, you will always remember.
Imagine you're flustered, you're hyped up on caffeine, but you're also severely dehydrated, and all of a sudden you realize, oh, that's the manager of the Cardinals, and another guy's like, hey, how are you? And I'm like, gives me a hug. It's John Jay, and I'm seeing these people one at a time. I have tunnel vision. And then another guy turns, he's like, hey, and he sticks out his hand, and he's like, I'm sorry, how are you? I go, I'm sorry, what was your name? He said, Stubby.
The Stubby Clap?
Yeah. I was like, oh. And then all of a sudden, I realized, not only did I, like, walk in and interrupt this group, but that I was, like I forgot to be professional, and I just freaked out, and I got turned into super awkward Amy. Instead of prepared Amy, it would have said, Marty, great to see. Ollie, great. Isn't this a great venue? Wonderful that Connor Smith is playing. Delightful to see you here. Have a good day. But instead, I was like, oh, hey, my hair's wet. Oh, no. Oh, I ran. That's Noah. She's a professional runner. We go hiking. Well, anyway, our hair is wet. Bye. That's what I did. And then all I could think of was, dear Lord, please let them forget this moment. Please. So, Ollie, if you're listening, I'm so sorry. I got flustered. I freaked out. I forgot that I'm supposed to be, you know, we're KMOX and we are professionals. And I just turned into a flustered, like, girl going, oh, my gosh, look at my hair is wet. Ooh. And I don't know what happened. I think I was dehydrated and underfueled. But But I embarrassed all of us.
No, it's not your personality. It's there must have been external factors.
Yeah.
You're right.
Guys,
yeah.
I embarrassed KMOX in front of Ali and John Jay and Stubby
Clap.
It's
just another day, isn't it?
I was just such a fool.
Texter here says, of course you two are wrong again. It's not how high the dew point is. It's how close the dew point is with the actual temperature that determines if it's humid.
Yeah, but it's hot.
God.
And
this
dude,
I mean, these people.
The know-it-alls.
We have some of the dumbest text messengers.
If anybody knows
Ali,
tell them I didn't mean to be an idiot.
Let me go tell the meteorologist she's wrong. Hey, with a lot of stuff happened over the weekend. We'll get to it. We got a lot coming up on the show. Matt Pauly will talk some Cardinals with us at 10:30. As Amy mentioned, we're going to find out more about this Prop U, whatever that is. You get to vote on it soon. We'll find out more about that at 10 o'clock on KMOX.
Two quick strikes on Carlos Beltran with the bases loaded, two out. The Mets down by two. Breaking ball struck him out, and the Cardinals have won the pennant. Molina leaps into the arms of Adam Wainwright as the rookie closer strikes out Beltran, looking with the bases loaded, and the Cardinals celebrate before their trip to Detroit.
You know that voice? That is Joe Buck, St. Louisan, grew up here, son of Jack Buck. And you heard that name, Carlos Beltran, who went into the Hall of Fame over the weekend. So congratulations to him. But so did that man who you just heard from. Joe joins his father as a baseball Hall of Famer, a broadcast Hall of Famer. And I know we did a lot of coverage of that last week. Tom Ackerman had a long conversation with Joe, which you can find on KMOX.com. You can find it on the Odyssey app if you have it. And I know it played a few times on the station last week. So really great weekend. And it was fun to have him be acknowledged in that way. And I've always been a really big fan of his career. I think like a lot of St. Louisans, very early on when he started to get some opportunities as a Cardinals broadcaster, there's that little feeling of like, oh, how did you get this job? Was it because of your dad? Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, but also he just happens to be really, really good.
He's really good.
So it was very well earned, and this is some of what he had to say during his acceptance speech over the weekend.
But yes, I was chased into my Boston hotel by Red Sox fans coming out of a bar called the Beantown Pub. They were sure I was in the bag for the Yankees. I was yelled at outside Wrigley Field as a Cardinal lover. I was booed at Shea. I was booed at Dodger Stadium. Heck, Cardinal fans, some of them think I don't like the Cardinals. Life is so hard, isn't it? Wah. But there are also the touching moments, like the time in San Francisco after a big playoff game when a little boy and his father stood beneath the booth yelling for me to look down as I was packing my backpack after a big Giants win in an NLCS game. Of course, I made that little boy's day as I looked over the edge of the booth at he and his father simply giving me the finger. Ah, the look of pride on that dad's face is a look I'll never forget. And so, now, from this stage, on this day, to those two people somewhere walking the earth, I say, back at ya.
You remembered those two.
Yeah, well, it's very funny. I think I kind of believe that's an ultimate compliment. They knew you well enough to give you a middle finger.
Isn't that they don't boo nobodies? They don't give middle fingers to nobodies?
That's what Jordan Walker said when he won the Derby last week. Or two weeks ago.
Well, then our texters must think we are a big deal.
Oh, yes, we did have a texter who followed up the original dew point texter who told us we were wrong about dew point. And this texter says, that texter is fake news. Temperature and dew point close together create fog.
You know what I love? I love, like, I don't know, I live in this world where we're like, KMOX is younger. It's not just for old people anymore. And then we launch into a half an hour argument about dew point.
But I think dew point is interesting. We should be on the, if we are the ones who are on the front lines of educating people about dew point, then I feel pretty good about that.
I will say our boss Steve has said that we need to find our mission.
This is it.
This is it.
It's not the humidity that matters. It's the dew point. That's how you know. That should be our slogan. Do we get a slogan? Do we get a motto?
Yeah.
That should be it. It's not the humidity, like, it's the dew point.
Chris and Amy, because life's too short for boring radio. Say, Chris and Amy, it's not the humidity that matters. It's the dew point.
So, as I said, a lot happening over the weekend. Congratulations to Joe Buck, Carlos Beltran, for making it into baseball's Hall of Fame. Tom Ackerman was there in Cooperstown. He'll be back tomorrow. Gas House Gang is at 12 today. I got Nate Gatter with me. Klaibs and Greg Amsinger scheduled to be on the show. So we hope you'll stick around for that at 12 on 104.1 FM KMOX. Chris and Amy show on KMOX. And over the weekend, I attended the Jack White show at, it's a place called the Salt Shed.
Mm-hmm.
It's been open for about 4 years. It's in Chicago. It is the, if you've ever driven up there, it's right off the interstate. It is the old Morton Salt warehouse. And the head HQ used to be in Chicago. Now it's in Overland Park. So it's a Kansas City-based company now. And it was closed. They reopened it a few years later as a music venue.
Yeah.
And I have to tell you, if you ever get an opportunity to go, if there's a show up there you like, somebody's performing, go to it. I think it's just a really cool venue. They've got the indoor venue, and then just outside of it is like an outdoor courtyard second venue, and the river is right there. Mm-hmm. People park their boats and they listen to music. It's a very cool vibe. So if you ever get an opportunity, you should do it. And Jack is one of those people. I went to the show at Chaffetz, and I want to say it was 2018. It was either 2018, 2019, somewhere in that range. It was definitely pre-COVID. And he performed there.
Where did you say?
At Chaffetz.
Okay, I think just a couple years before that, he went to the Fox.
Okay, it was definitely not the Fox.
Okay.
So it was like between 2017 and 19.
Yeah.
And it was the first time I had experienced those Yonder pouches. So Jack White is a very, he's into the old school stuff. That's why he's really big on vinyl. You know, he sells everything on vinyl. And I know that you can get pretty much any album in vinyl now, but when he started to do it, there weren't a whole lot of artists that were still selling it. So he's very big. He's got his own press, vinyl press or whatever. And he also does not like cell phones at concerts. So he doesn't, you know, I think there are very few artists who do this. I know Dave Chappelle, he started doing it about 9-10 years ago, where he made everybody, as they entered the building, wherever they were performing, he made them put their phone in this pouch, and then it seals magnetically and you can't open it up. You have to go to certain places if you want to get on your phone, but you can't be where the show is happening and get your phone out and start recording. He just doesn't want people to do that. And
comedians do that.
Chappelle.
John Mulaney. Yeah.
Oh, John Mulaney did it too? Mm-hmm. So I think it's very interesting. I was with a friend who's not like he's not like one of those people who's constantly on his phone.
Yeah.
But he was not feeling it. He was like, oh, man, I didn't know you had to do this. I don't like this. And for a while, it was a real adjustment period.
Did he think about not going or no?
No. Okay. I mean, he was surprised by it as we went in.
Yeah.
And, you know, we met there at the venue and he said, did you know you can't take your phone in? I was like, well, yeah, you can take your phone. You just have to put it in this pouch. And, you know, thinking about this, the vibe of the show, there is a noticeable difference. You don't see a bunch of people with their stupid phones in the air taking bad videos nobody's ever going to look at or like or care about or photos. But I did want to be able to at least take a photo of the venue so, you know, you could see it.
Yeah.
Because it's such a cool place. But I liked it. I liked that idea of people are just not on their phones recording. They're not watching a good show through a tiny screen. They're actually paying attention to it.
You're more present.
Yeah, I really. And after a while, you adjust to it very quickly, I think.
You
adjust to not having your phone. Because there were a couple times where I would reach down to get in my pocket and get it out and look at it. And I forgot about it after a while.
Yeah.
It was nice.
It's really nice. Even at the Connor Smith, and I did have to check my phone a couple times, but at the Connor Smith concert, as silly as it sounds, I put my phone in my fanny pack. Yes, I wore a fanny pack.
Yeah.
And zipped it up and just, like, left it in there. And it was nice saying, just listening to the concert and not grabbing your phone out or trying to take pictures or video. And I think, let's say I went home today and I'm like, here are some errands I want to do, a book I want to read. I'd pay some money for someone to just take the pressure off me to put my phone in a pouch and I can't have it for 6 hours.
It'd be kind of nice, right?
Because it takes no willpower then. In the same way that people say, well, just don't use your phone. I get it. We all have willpower. But it's the same way as if, let's say, you're trying to eat healthy or not eat sugar.
That is a perfect analogy.
It is a lot easier to not eat sugar if you don't have ice cream and cake in the house. Because it's just not there. It's out of sight, out of mind. Or even if it is in your mind, it's not available. But it actually uses up your willpower to constantly say, no ice cream, no cake, no ice cream, no cake, even though it's right there on my counter.
That's why I can't, and I know this is a different conversation, but I can't be upset at Americans for being obese when it's just, there's Wendy's and Burger King and everything. Yeah. It's in your face. It's always there. Of course people are going to eat it.
Well,
so if your phone is on you, of course you're going to grab your phone and look at it.
And just like sugar is addictive, the phone is addicting. We are addicted to our phones. We have wired our brains to say that this little rectangle in our pocket is the most important thing. If it lights up, if it vibrates, if it buzzes, whatever, that's the most important thing. How many times are you just constantly checking? Did I miss something? Did I look at something?
Yeah.
And it's a habit that you can't even describe how intuitive it is to just check your phone. And so, yes, it's the same thing with being addicted to sugar or fast food or junk food. Like I said, my good friend who lived here and raised his kids here for a few years and now has moved back to his home in Switzerland, he loves America. Yes, he loves the convenience of America, the abundance of America. However, he said, do you know how much easier it is where in Switzerland, where there isn't fast food everywhere, there's one aisle that has maybe two bags of chips. There's not candy and soda. It's so much easier to not have to say no to your kids.
That's right.
Can parents say no? Absolutely. Should they? Absolutely. But it's a lot easier when there's nothing to say no to.
Well, and this is also a really good example of what we're talking about with the cell phones in schools, that if everybody has to do it, there's not as much fear of missing out. And if I went into the music venue and they singled me out and said, you put your phone in this pouch, everybody else is okay, then I don't think I'd like that. But the fact that we all had to do it, there was just something nice about everybody walking around and being present.
Yep.
I mean, it's a little cumbersome that you have to carry this dumb pouch, but it would be cooler if there was a way to not have it on you at all, and you could easily get it if you need to, but that would just not work. Too many people.
Yeah.
But the idea of not having it on your person and available to constantly be looking at, it was freeing. Yeah, I really did like that.
Well, I'm not even joking. Every time I escape to the mountains, do you know how freeing it is to have zero service?
Yeah.
There's nothing to look at on your phone. There's zero service. You can't get Wi-Fi, text, cellular service. There's nothing. And so you don't check your phone when you're hiking because there's nothing to check. And on Saturday, my running buddies, a big group of us, we had like 14 of us, all went to Flight Club, the dart place in Clayton. And you rent your own little booth, basically, with your own dart board, and it's electronic. And we all played darts at Flight Club, and it was so much fun. And on one side of
that's
wall.
That's the place in Clayton.
Yeah. On one side of the wall with the hooks, there were hooks, I should say, for your coat and purse. I put my phone in my fanny pack because I still had my fanny pack, and I hung it on the wall. And I never once went over to the wall to check my phone. And I was so present. And you know what's funny is we don't have any pictures from that night because we weren't looking at our phones. And I don't know why I really didn't see phones. And usually you see people checking their phones or you see the phone on the bar top, right? You see phones. And I didn't check my phone once. And it was really fun. And it felt more relaxing. And I felt way more present. And I didn't even think to check my phone.
You know what I liked? I wanted to tell you something else, Amy. But before that, I'm thinking about when I first moved away after college and went to moved up north. And I had a friend who had a really small digital camera that he bought. And he would bring it out.
Yeah.
Anytime we'd go out. And he would just snap photos all night. But it wasn't that kind of thing where you snap the photo, then you look at it. Does that look good? Oh, let me delete that. Let's try it again. He would just take these photos. And then later, he would go through them and send them like, hey, look at this one or look at this one. I loved that. Yeah. But it's when you're doing it with a phone, you take the photo and then everybody has to look at it to make sure it looks good. Oh, that doesn't look good. Let's try it again. Like, ugh, no, just take the photo. If it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. Too bad. Move on. And I
love that.
I think we should go back to little digital cameras.
We should. And I think part of that is what I was saying several weeks ago, where I said everything has to be sexy and streamlined now.
Yeah.
Like even kids, there's this very like grown up and all, you know, all the, you know, young girls, and they're very grown up, like Lululemon, like skirts and tank tops and long hair. And they kind of all look like they're all, no one's wearing anything that shows unique personality. I shouldn't say no one. There's always some people. But, you know, a lot of kids are wearing, it's almost like they don't want to stand out for not conforming to, hey, this is the Lulu outfit you wear.
Yeah,
this is the, you know, or the whatever you wear. I guess I just bring it up because there's something about everything looking sleek or sexy or perfect, which is why I think we take so many photos. Back in the 90s, all of our photos were horrible. And a lot of times we had red eyes. You know, remember
but that was
how the
all a style. We all kind of dressed along the same style.
But maybe
I think
it just
that's
wasn't
generational.
As sleek. Maybe that's maybe. What it is. There's something right now that's a little the same. I feel the outfits today, the Lululemon outfits, give me the same vibe as the what I call the Soviet style McDonald's. Everything's like gray and sleek and monochrome. Nothing's tacky anymore.
Well,
we need
know.
To be tacky.
That's different. We can be tacky again. Well, also, Amy, I want you to see if you can guess.
Oh, no.
I did it again.
Oh, okay.
I did it again, and I want to know if you, because I told you in the office that I did it again, and you said, I bet I know what it is.
Yep.
Do you know what it is?
Yes.
What?
You bought a t-shirt at the concert and tipped.
I did. Oh, my God. I'm so mad about it. I'm so mad about it. I buy a t-shirt at the end of the show as we're walking out. And this time, so this happened at Chaffetz, the Muse concert I went to. It was the one I ran into Pajeski at a few years ago.
Aww.
And I bought a t-shirt, and it was the first time ever I had been exposed to a non-food item tip option.
Yeah.
So I bought the shirt. They gave me the little terminal. I put my card in it. And it said, do you want a tip? And I was like, wait. And I hit whatever it was. And it was, I think it ended up being a $6 tip.
Yeah, because it was like 20% or something.
For a person to turn around, grab the shirt and give it to me. So it happened again. And this time, the dude like kind of, he gave me the shirt. The terminal was in front of me. So I had to put my card in. And he sort of leaned down and looked at me. He was in one of those, you know, those booths. So he was higher up by like a couple of inches.
That's intimidating.
And he kind of leaned forward waiting for me to make my selection. And so I did. I did the lowest tip amount.
So 15?
I don't know if it was 10 or 15, but I still felt really, I should have been like, no, what am I doing here?
This isn't the service industry.
I got guilted into it, pressured.
I feel like
I got pressured into this.
The way you panic and tip is exactly how that's your version of me being a nerd in front of Ali Marmol and John Jay and Stubby Clap.
Well, I don't know if it's the same, but I see what you're getting at.
Yes.
But you
panic. Like you become not yourself.
For a t-shirt, man, these companies that are these vendors that are making that an option, I hate you. I hate you. And I believe in tipping. I believe in tipping at restaurants and even at coffee shops. Even at coffee shops, I believe in tipping. But for to turn around and literally grab a t-shirt out of a box, hand it to me, a tip? No.
But this is why I'm comparing it to me being a real nerd in front of Ali Marmol. If you're listening, I'm so sorry. I think if you had been prepared for the tip.
I wasn't.
And you walked up going, they're going to ask me to tip and I'm not going to. You would have handled the situation better,
maybe.
Right?
Didn't think about it.
You were caught off guard.
I was.
You were having a good time. You're thinking, you know what? I'm going to buy a Jack White t-shirt. Life is good. I'm having fun. Oh, hey. And you get hit with the option to tip. You're not prepared mentally for it.
Yes.
And you panicked.
That's okay. So an external factor. That's what happened.
Yes.
I'm so mad about it. But at least it wasn't the $6 tip. I'll never get over that. That happened how many years ago? I'm still talking about it.
Four?
Three? I don't know, but I'll never get over that. Tipping for a t-shirt. Come on, you idiot. Me, idiot. It's a Chris and Amy show on KMOX.
Now, did you see this with Chris and Amy?
Well, a CBS poll has found that Cyclospora is changing Americans' eating habits. A new poll conducted by CBS News YouGov found that 4 in 10 Americans are buying or eating less produce because of the parasitic outbreak that's been linked to iceberg lettuce in 9 states. Most Americans are also following news of the outbreak somewhat closely, per the survey. Actually, it's about the same number of Americans who are following coverage of the Iranian war.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So the CBS News YouGov found that respondents' confidence in the FDA's ability to solve the problem is mixed, but largely falls along party lines, with Republicans more optimistic. CBS News also reported that staff and program cuts at the FDA may have contributed to how bad this situation has gotten. And I will say, I am that 4 in 10. I'm one of the 4 in 10 Americans. I've been extra careful. Listen, I got enough issues without Cyclospora. But I had a giant salad yesterday with my family, but homegrown lettuce, cucumbers, and tomatoes.
Yeah, so you're fine. And that's, I've done that a couple of times where I've wanted, like, that's what I felt like having, but then I thought,
I think if you go to a farmer's market, if you get locally grown, you're good, yeah.
I wish the Soulard market was open all week, but it's not.
Oh, is it not?
It's Wednesday through Saturday.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
There's a lot of good stuff there. But
oh, yeah, I had the Soulard experience after going to Dee's to see Connor Smith. My friend who lives there, they have a golf cart, and I got to do the thing where you drive around Soulard in the golf cart.
We can talk about the golf carts.
It was so fun. And then they went to the farmer's market, the Soulard farmer's market, and the golf cart. Again, I'm falling in love with these neighborhoods. I almost bought a house in Soulard this weekend.
Good luck. So, Amy, did you see that in Minneapolis, they had a little bit of a poo problem?
Oh, my gosh, no.
So, at some point on Thursday morning, liquid manure was spilled on the interstate. A lot of it. Oh. And so these cars had driven through it. It was on Highway 62, near 28th Avenue, if you know where that is, in South Minneapolis. And people were reporting that it was leaving a significant and rancid smell on their cars. There's actually one video, and it's one of the, you know, the highway fixed cameras, the traffic cameras. And there are two cars driving side by side, and one drives through the puddle and just douses the other car next to it.
Oh, my gosh.
How in the world does this happen? Do you remember back in, I want to say it was March of this year, a septic tank truck that cleans out septic tanks got stalled on a train track?
Oh, no.
And got demolished by the train?
No, I don't remember that at all.
Oh, I don't remember what that was. Well, we had a derailment in Eureka. See that? That was the coal derailment? Coal train?
Oh, I did see that. Yeah. I did see that. Regarding Minneapolis, I will say this. People who have driven through it, and I'm watching the video now, this woman said she's taken her car through the car wash 5 times, has aired it out. It smells so bad that she is going to sell her car.
You have to do the thing that Seinfeld did, where he got the BO stench in the car, and he just parked it, and he threw the keys in it, and he said, take it.
That's actually what you have to do.